Hello everybody, this is English for You, the program that helps you improve your English. A very warm welcome. In the studio I have my students from Fazekas. They are seasoned veterans in the show business, right? Martin, how are you doing?
I'm fine, thanks.
Great. What's happening, Kata?
Everything's okay.
Good. Victor, how's it hanging?
I'm great, thanks.
Victoria, how are you doing?
Fine, thanks.
Good. And today's special guest is Mr. Oliver Sales. And if you look at all the models around him, I think it's pretty obvious that he's an architect. Oliver, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Right. And the first task is going to be very challenging. I can help you. He's from an English-speaking country, okay? But I would like you to listen to his accent and try to guess where he's from. Oliver, I'm really good at translating from English to Hungarian. And your name is Oliver Sales. And I know that in Hungarian it is Sales Oliver. Is that true?
That's definitely true. A lot of people here have difficulty pronouncing my family name. When I pronounce my name Sales, this sounds peculiar to people. So I've decided that it's easier to call myself Sales.
And you have a son, Daniel, right?
And I have a son, Daniel. And he's 3 years old at the moment, and he's having difficulty learning English. He only learns the not-so-polite things from me, and the more polite Hungarian from his mother, which is a little bit difficult for us, especially seeing we'll be going to visit my family soon.
Right, and what do other people, other kids, call Oliver at the kindergarten?
They don't call me
I mean your son, sorry.
They call him Dodo.
Dodo and sometimes Sholeshka, right?
Sholeshka.
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 Yeah.
Is the name that his friends call him.
Thank you very much. So you've listened to his accent. Where do you think he might be from, Márton?
Well, I'm not sure. But maybe Wales, but I'm absolutely
Wales,
sure.
Wales, Qatar?
Britain.
Britain?
Australia.
Ireland. You are from?
I'm from Britain.
He's from Britain. And we are going to find out exactly where he's from. And you can see a wonderful building here. This is, I would say, that a symbol of your hometown, right? It could be the symbol, the most famous building, maybe.
There are two famous buildings, and this is definitely one of them.
Definitely one of them. Victoria, please, would you say a couple of sentences about it? What kind of a building it is?
Okay, it seems to have turrets like our parliament, but these are much bigger, and it reminds me of Moscow and Russian onion-shaped top things like this. And otherwise, it's very decorative and very nice. Why? It is like as if it were from India.
Wonderful guess, right? absolutely wonderful. And now, could we have the next picture? Because Oliver painted it a couple of years ago, and I would like you to talk about this building. How do you like it as an architect? How do you like this building?
As an architect, I think the building's fantastic. And the time in history, it was a very good expression of how the British colonies at that time would bring ideas back from the countries they were colonizing and try to put this culture and ideas onto the English landscape. The difficulty is these buildings didn't really work. So they became novelty items in the future. And now this is a tourist attraction. And people go to see it. But the fortunate thing is that everything is in its original condition.
Right, and I think it was built in the 19th century, at the beginning of the 19th
century. Yes, it was.
Century.
It was the weekend house for King George.
Weekend house, okay. and the real... and the nice weekend house. And the real name for this is the Royal Pavilion.
The Royal
right?
Pavilion.
And you painted this wonderful picture.
Yes.
Congratulations. And now, could we have the other symbol of this town? And I would like you, Márton, to try and talk about this structure.
You can see a seaside with this strange structure. But it can be a bungalow or another weekend house. I'm not sure because this is so dark. the dark picture.
Right, and you can see this structure built out into the sea. And we have a Hungarian word for this. What is the Hungarian word?
Molo.
Doctor, say it again.
Molo.
Yes, and it's a false friend, because it looks as if it were an international word, as if you could use it in English. And a lot of Hungarians use this, say, molo. But unfortunately, it doesn't mean anything in English, because the word for this structure is pier. So this is the famous Brighton Pier, right?
Yes.
Okay, fine. So we are in Brighton. Does anybody know where Brighton is?
Victoria? It's a seaside town. Very nice. You can see the picture, but it's a very famous holiday resort.
Yeah, it's a resort. Good. Thank you very much. So Oliver is from Brighton, and I think you have a story with false friends. When you first came to Hungary, there was a word you thought you knew. What it meant. What was that word?
No, there was an awkward situation I was in. It was the end of the year, so New Year was coming, and my friends and my relatives here were all going to a party, and they were talking about Sylvester. My difficulty is that even after midnight, I still didn't know who Sylvester was. And this is still a joke in the family, that Uncle Sylvester will be coming soon.
So New Year's Eve is Sylvester.
New Year's Eve is Sylvester.
Yeah, and Oliver thought that Sylvester is going to come. Where is Sylvester? Right, okay. Again, a false friend. Good. Now, Brighton is also called London by the Sea, right?
London by the Sea.
And I have a very interesting report from London, and I would like you to watch and listen. Group one, your task is, what buildings and constructions are mentioned? Group two, try to understand everything in connection with the latest construction. Okay, would you roll the tape?
To celebrate the new millennium, London not only built the massive Millennium Dome and the London Eye, for the first time since Tower Bridge was constructed over 100 years ago, a new crossing over the River Thames was created, the Millennium Bridge. Designed by architects Foster and Partners, artists Anthony Caro and engineers Arup, the concept was to use only the bare essentials of structure so as not to interfere with the famous views of St. Paul's Cathedral and allowing river traffic to go underneath.
Right, Kota, could you understand the buildings and constructions?
Yeah, there was the Millennium Dome, the Tower Bridge and the Millennium Bridge.
Right, and there was one more.
London Eye.
Say it again, Victor.
London Eye.
The London Eye. Good, that's it. Right, and what about the latest construction, Victoria, please?
Wasn't it the Millennium Bridge?
Yes.
Okay, the Millennium Bridge was specially constructed because they took into consideration that the view of St. Paul's Cathedral shouldn't be disturbed or that the cars going under it shouldn't be...
Right. All the ships and boats, the river traffic. Thank you very much. Excellent. Now, what happened on the opening day? Would you roll the tape, please?
What we could see was that the bridge was moving sideways when very large crowds crossed it.
Pedestrians noticed a slight movement that is common to most footbridges and spread their feet apart to keep their balance. But more importantly, large numbers of people locked into the same step. Like soldiers marching, this created a significant lateral force, causing the bridge to wobble. It closed the following day.
London Bridge is falling down, falling down, falling down. London Bridge is falling down, my fair lady. Build it up with sticks and stones, sticks and stones, sticks and stones. Build it up with sticks and stones, my fair lady. Sticks and stones will wash away, wash away, wash away. Sticks and stones will wash away, my fair lady. So what happened on the opening day, Victor, please?
It was moving sideways. And then it was because the crowds of people, so...
Yeah. The word was it...
It was
wobbled. So it went from side to side. Oliver, have you heard about this story?
Yes. And the problem has been looked at, and they've solved the problems with this bridge, and now it's reopened.
But I think it's pretty embarrassing, isn't it?
It was very embarrassing, but any new ideas as a prototype, and a building you can't test like a prototype project, like a car, they can build prototypes. You can't make a prototype bridge and come back with another one. So this is one of the high risks in architecture, is that every building is a prototype.
Right. Are you responsible for this? I mean, is constructing bridges your side, your job?
I'm not involved in constructing bridges.
Okay, how about this? This is one of your models, and I'm turning to my students. What do you think it might be? Kota?
I have absolutely no idea.
Okay, Marton?
Well, I suppose it can be a bridge, but then maybe it's a tunnel in the mountain, or I don't know.
Thank you. Victor, please.
I don't know. I have no idea. Maybe a sculpture, but it's a stupid thing to.
So, Oliver, what is it?
It's a display stand for pictures and small models. And this is a small model of the model.
and the size is, if a person.
If this was full size, it would be about 2 meters high.
And there would be or should be pictures and photos.
Pictures and photos.
Right. So. Is this your main profile to design things like this?
I spend most of my time designing family houses and small exhibition stands.
Good. Talking about family homes, this is one of his designs, right? When was it built and where?
This was built about 8 or 9 years ago, and it was built in Jamaica in the Caribbean.
What would you call this building? Is it a villa?
Yes.
And do you remember your client's requirements when they turned to you to design this building? What were the requirements?
That their requirements were for a traditional Caribbean style villa with some feeling of the they wanted some feeling of the tradition and the colonial time of the British and Spanish empires in the Caribbean. They wanted to have the taste and the flavor of this.
Right, it's really beautiful, and now we're going to see the sketch of this. And obviously, Oliver made the sketch first, right? And when you made this, did you use the computer?
When I made that, I didn't know how to use a computer. My problem was a younger architect, when I'd finished, all I knew how to do was draw with pencils. And this is one of the drawings that I made with pencil. And the problem as well as working in the Caribbean is even the electricity supply wasn't regular enough to be able to run a computer. Mm-hmm. So when I worked in the Caribbean, it was a premium to be able to draw with pencil, the traditional design technique.
Right. Now we're going to see the next picture, and I believe that this is different because then you used pencil and the computer, right?
Yes.
Are there any advantages of using the pencil and using the computer? So what are the advantages and disadvantages?
I feel that the advantage of using the pencil is you can put your feeling and emotion into the project. And this is like the difference between musicians who play guitars. Or
thank you.
The piano, or musicians who use digital equipment to produce music. Are you trying to create feeling, or are you trying to create an efficient rhythm? And architecture is somewhat like music. You're trying to create an emotion.
Right, and I'm holding this book, which says Graphisoft. And this is a Hungarian product, right?
Yes, it is.
And you learned to use the computer with the help of this book. Is that
this
true?
Is one of the books that helped. This right. is a library of all the parts that are standard in the software.
And you can see a page from this. So now it's relatively easy to design a house. All you have to do is click on one of the window types. Is that true?
I think that's vastly inaccurate. I think that anyone can use the computer after a little bit of teaching, and they can click onto a window. They can click to make a door come. They can click to make trees come and cars. But to design a good building is something different. It needs travel experience. And some some sort of a feeling for the profession and a feeling for your clients to be able to design correctly.
Thank you. Now you're going to see the house, the real house that was made from that sketch we saw. That wasn't a sketch, that was a computer plan.
Yes.
And this is the house. It was built in a couple of years ago, right? About 2 years ago, and it's in Hungary. Isn't that lovely? So wonderful. And Oliver, I asked my students, actually Kota and Victor, to imagine their future homes. And I told them that they haven't won the lottery, so they don't have money to burn, right? Come up with a modest plan, and here you can see Kota's plan. So Kota, would you like to talk about it?
Well, I didn't have really big fantasy for this, but I thought that I think a two-story building, some kind of a little house would be enough for me. And one thing I would really like to do is using a lot of materials close to nature, because I love wooden things in a house and a lot of trees and those grass around.
Right. Have you thought about the heating system of the house?
Actually not, but I thought of a lot of windows. And then it came to my mind that if I put a lot of windows in a house, then it's going to be a little bit difficult to heat up.
Right. Thank you very much. Could we have the other plan? And over to you, Victor.
So this is my plan, or I don't know. I don't know how much would this house cost, but I thought about in the middle there is the living room, and there is a huge window pane over the living room to make the whole house bright. And I wanted to build next to a hill, because the hill's warmth is good for heating system, for example.
Right. So, thank you very much. Oliver, any comments on this?
I'd like to say congratulations. I teach sometimes at the Technical University in Budapest, and some of the first year students can't achieve drawings and plans as nice as these. So you must have suffered to produce these ideas. And some of your ideas about the construction and environment are very interesting.
Thank you. Now we're going to meet Sir Richard Rogers, who is one of the leading architects in Britain. He designed the Millennium Dome. You remember that huge building, he and his partners, I would say. And this is Sir Richard. And I would like you to listen to his ideas about energy consumption. He's going to talk about industry, agriculture, traffic, and a couple of percentages. So what percentages is he going to mention? Would you roll the tape, please?
Architecture uses about 50%, buildings use about 50% of all energy. 25% is due to traffic, which in a sense related to urban design and, of course, and cities. And the other 25% is basically industry and agriculture. So architecture is a critical part of the whole question of a sustainable world.
Thank you. So, what are the percentages? Kota, could you catch that?
He said architecture uses 50% of all energy, and there was something 5% of...
25 traffic?
Yeah.
And another 25...
Industry
and agriculture. 50%. I mean, it's amazing. It's a staggering figure to me, really. Now, I would like you to meet another very famous architect. It's Bill Dunster. I wonder if you've ever heard of him.
Yes.
Bill Dunster. And he is going to talk about a new project. And the project is called Hope House. So what are the characteristic features of Hope House? And I would like you to write down the key words, okay? Would you roll the tape, please?
Hope House is a prototype family home. It's built very economically using local materials. It has the ability to be environmentally upgraded over time as we can afford new features such as photovoltaic cells and solar hot water panels.
Hope House faces south, maximizing free solar heat and light. Sustainable local building materials like wood and concrete store heat, releasing it slowly later. heating requirements can be reduced to as little as 10% of a conventional home.
The rest of the house is well insulated and specifically is thermally zoned, enabling only the living room to stay at comfortable temperatures all winter.
Right. Martin, what are the keywords you have?
Well, this is a family house and it's economically friendly. And we just use local materials, for example, wood, and we use solar heat and solar light here. And only 10% of energy is used for heating to a normal house.
Yeah, if you compare it to a conventional home. Right. Excellent. Anything else you would like to add?
It's just a prototype now.
It's just a prototype. Okay. Here you can see the keywords I picked, maybe badly. But over to you, Oliver. Do you agree that they are the keywords here?
I think they're some of the most important words in architecture at the moment and construction technology.
What do we mean by sustainable materials?
These mean materials that will be durable with time. They will last long enough. They're materials that maybe are like wood that comes from forests that are replanted to not cause loss to world forestation.
Right. Well insulated.
Well insulated. One of the biggest problems with buildings is heat. There are either some countries the cold and some countries the hot. It's either keeping the heat out or keeping the heat in. And when you have a country like Hungary, where the winter is very cold and the summer is very hot, you have to design the building to make a balance between hot and cold, to keep the house inside at the same temperature all year round.
The next one is solar panels and photovoltaics.
Yes.
Just in one or two sentences, what they mean.
Solar panels collect energy from the sun to warm water for the house's washing water and heating system. Photovoltaic cells, they use the energy from the sun to generate electricity.
Thank you very much. We're going to see a plan, and I chose this plan from this EcoTech, which is a magazine, and it's one of the latest issues, I believe, May 2002. And you can see a plan here. Could you help us understand what's going on in one or two sentences, really? So we have the photovoltaics and the solar panels and a couple of systems here.
What they're doing on this house is on the cold side of the building, which is probably the north, they are protecting the building with lots of insulation. The roof faces the sun to generate hot water and electricity, and on the south side of the building is a glass box. The glass box uses the sun's energy also to keep the house warm, also to grow plants in, to purify the air inside the building.
Right. What happens if it's cloudy? I mean, you have the solar panel and you look outside and you can see that it's cloudy.
If the weather's cloudy, the function of the insulation is so that if the house has been made, for instance, 21 degrees centigrade indoors, the insulation will help keep the building's temperature balanced.
Right. Now, this is an eco house you designed, and we're going to see the picture here. So this is your latest, right?
Yes.
It's just at the designing stage.
It's under construction at the moment.
Yes. Do a lot of Hungarian clients ask for solar panels and
yes.
photovoltaics?
Yes. A lot of Hungarian clients ask for solar technology. They ask for environmentally friendly materials. The problem is that these materials are very expensive.
How expensive?
Maybe 5 times more money to build an environmentally friendly house than a normal house.
Okay. So let's get down to details. So if it's a conventional home...
Yes.
It costs, say, 1 million for the heating system or less?
A conventional home may cost about 600,000 or 1 million forint for the heating system.
And if it's eco-friendly?
It might cost 5 or 6 million forint because the technology is still very new and under development.
Yes, and how do you see our future? I mean, in Britain, I've read here in this EcoTech magazine that more and more people install photovoltaics and solar panels because of the regulations, maybe. Can you see the future, our future in Hungary?
Yes, I do see the future positively. that people care about their country, they care about their forests, the landscape, and their homes, and that people will invest in the future. And the more people who buy environmentally friendly products or sustainable materials, the prices will become cheaper.
Thank you very much. And next time I ask you to design a house, put solar panels, okay, and photovoltaics. Thank you very much for coming, Oliver.
Thank you.
Bye for now. See you next week.